Now, as we look at the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus is about to start his ministry. But before he does, he's already been announced as he's been announced by John the Baptist. And in verse number 7 and 8, we see where John the Baptist comes on the scene and begins to announce Jesus is coming. Then we show how he gets baptized in verses 9 through 11. And it's in verse 11 that we begin to see God himself give his stamp of approval on Jesus by announcing from heaven that he is my beloved son, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. In our verses this morning, we see that after Jesus is baptized, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, one of the things that that needs to be noticed about this concept of him being driven into the wilderness is it's a term not used of a gentle push. It's one that is usually used in the sense of a forcefulness. It means to eject and to or to send away. The same words used here is what Jesus used later on, used in reference to Jesus casting out demons. Now, that's not to say that Jesus is being forced to go into the wilderness, but he is being led by the Spirit to purposely go there and to begin to show himself to be who he says he is. One of the first things that you need to take away from this is that Jesus, being the one who is better than all of us, is going through these trials and these tribulations, this temptation, if you will. And because he's going through those things, it means that we also will go through a few things in our lives. Jesus said himself that no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. Secondly, being led by the Spirit doesn't guarantee a get out of temptation free card. God doesn't always lead you down the most smoothest and easiest of roads, but he will take us to those roads where there is the most beneficial route for growth for us. Amen. Somebody once said that difficult roads often lead to beautiful places. God is trying to take us to some very beautiful places in our lives if we let him. Amen. But the great thing is that if the Spirit is the one that is leading us, then the Spirit is going to be there with us. He's not leaving us all alone to carry on by ourselves. If he is leading us, then he will be with us, and he will make sure that as long as we stay committed to God, he will give us the victory. And notice that the Spirit didn't lead him to the beach. The Spirit didn't lead him to the Caribbean and to sip piña coladas on the beach. It doesn't make a difference where it is that we go in this world, truth be told, but where we go is not always going to be the most comfortable of places. The Spirit led him to the wilderness. It led him to a place that was barren, desolate, and uninhabited. You know, growing up in America, many of us have gotten accustomed to our modern day comforts and luxuries. Some of us have gotten accustomed to the privileges that we have just because we live here in this country. We like things to be comfortable and easy, so much so that I doubt that there are too many people in our country that can remember a time or even have lived in a time where they've had to live without electricity for an extended period of time. I mean, some of our older generations probably remember those times, but most of us today don't know what that's like. We are accustomed to having our plumbing. I mean, just this morning, I'm talking to Thomas about my car having issues. We are accustomed to what we have and what we use every single day. There are some people in other countries who do not enjoy the same benefits that we enjoy just for being here in this country. So it's not unusual for many of us to expect certain levels of comfort when it comes to what we get from God. The problem is that God isn't always concerned with how comfortable we are. Sometimes it's more important that we carry a little bit of extra weight so that we can get stronger, much like a bodybuilder. You know, the more you carry, the stronger you become. The more you deal with, the tougher you are. And it's not in your best interest for you to be those who do not ever have to deal with anything hard in your lives. Sometimes it's necessary for you to go through a few hard things, a few troublesome things, so that you can build up who you are as a person, not just your physical body. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, speaking in reference to Jesus, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's why he was out there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. The number 40 in scripture often shows a period of testing or a period of judgment. In Noah's day, when the flood came, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. Acts chapter 7 tells us that when Moses left Egypt, he was 40 years old and stayed in Midian 40 years before God called on him to lead Israel. This was a time of Jesus to be tested, to be proved on what his character really is. Matthew and Luke tell us specifically which temptations Jesus had to deal with. But in Mark, it simply tells us that he was tempted. And we know that they fall into the same categories of the trials and tribulations, or the temptations, I should say, that we all have to face in our everyday lives. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the things that we all have to face in our lives. Nothing has changed in regard to sin since Adam and Eve. Even Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun. We may all be a little bit different, but Satan makes sure that we are all approached in some of the same ways, in the same ways that get us each and every time. That's why it's important for me to know me. I may not know all the ways in which Satan may come at me in this life, but I should know who I am. I should know what my issues are. I can't spend all my time worrying about brother so-and-so and that individual down the street and what their problems are. I really need to focus on who I am and what my issues are. Because when I am aware of what it is that's going on within me, then I can be aware of the ways in which Satan will come after me. Sometimes people have got it into their head that their own individual issues are really not that much of an issue. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that we have problems. It doesn't serve us to deny the fact that there are areas in our lives that we are weak in. It doesn't serve us to pretend like we are too strong to give into Satan's snares. The first step in dealing with addictions in the 12-step program for drugs and alcohol is to admit that you have a problem. We have to truly be honest with ourselves. It doesn't matter how much of a strong image that you want to put out in front of people. It doesn't make a difference whether you want to seem like you are so spiritual and so great that you are just the strongest Christian that has ever walked the earth. Sometimes when we sit there and try and show people an image that's not real, all we are doing is lying to ourselves. And truth be told, we're just setting ourselves up for failure. When we lie to ourselves, we are opening a door for Satan to come in. Yeah. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves." Yeah. When we acknowledge our issues instead of denying them, we can begin to take on the necessary steps to avoid them. And even when we have to stand face to face with our issues, we can be like Jesus and gain strength from reminding ourselves of God's word. When you're fasting or you're on a diet, like I have been at times, you know, then sometimes you hear that little bitty voice, you know, saying, "Hey, you know, a piece of cake really wouldn't hurt too that much." You know, you can reply with the words of John chapter 6, verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." When tax season comes around and that little voice starts to say, "Well, maybe, you know, if you claim your brother's or sister's child, you might be able to get a few extra thousand dollars on your taxes." Well, you know, you have to stand on God's word and say, "My God will supply all your needs according to his glories and the riches of Christ," in Philippians 4:19. When you're facing some of the challenges, whether physical or financial or emotional, and you get to the point in your mind where you think that you are so strong that you can handle it on your own, that you don't need anybody else, that this is all, that you got it yourself, then you might need to remind yourself of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands beware lest he fall." Amen. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the things that Jesus dealt with. And I have no doubt that these are the things that we will have to deal with in this world. And we have to be real about where those problems fit in our lives. Because when we do, we can start to take the steps to avoid the bakery shop when we're on our diet. We can take the steps necessary to avoid stepping into those little traps that Satan just throws out there in front of us just so that we can get tripped up. But for Jesus, he had to deal with these trials on his own. He was separated from friends and family. His only companions were, as scripture tells us, wild beasts. Although, you know, I have to imagine that if Jesus later on shows us that he has the power to calm the seas and the wind, I think he has the power to calm a few wild beasts. Other than the animals, the only ones who were there to give him support were the angels in heaven. Verse 13 says that, "And the angels ministered to him." There are a lot of times in this world that it seems like we don't have anyone to depend on. Times when friends and family can be a little bit scarce and sometimes hard to find. There are times when we do have family and friends around us and they're so involved and wrapped up in their own issues that they don't have the time or the energy or the means to really give you the support that you need. But just like Jesus, as children of God, we need to be those who realize and understand that we are never truly alone. Amen. Jesus himself said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." We are never truly alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Jesus promised that the Spirit would not only guide us into all truth, but he would also be a comforter for us. Amen. Realize and understand that the Spirit is constantly guiding us and directing us, not just to help us to know his word, but to help us through those hardest times in our lives when things just don't seem to be worth all the trouble that we go through. Psalms chapter 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." When we realize and understand that we have the Holy Spirit in us and dwelling not only in us, but with us, then that means that he can call forth those angels necessary to minister to us when in our times of need. Amen. Just like with Jesus. The angels are the ones that carry out God's will and the ones who minister to God's children in every way that is needed. There have been many times, though, where I have had to just simply remind myself of God's word. I realize and understand that the angels are with me and that God is with me. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that when I'm in the situation. So it's in those times when it's necessary for me to start to quote scripture just like Jesus did. Yeah. At times when Psalms 23 is the only thing I can start to look at. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. See, when Satan shows up to remind you of your weaknesses and remind you of what problems you have in life, you need to take time to remind him that it is written.
Amen.
It is written. It is written. Handle God's word so much and so often that when the time comes for you to deal with the trials and temptations that you are faced with, that you'll be able to speak God's word from memory. To say it is written. And realize and understand that you have the power dwelling within you and through God's word to overcome the situations that you are faced with.
Amen.
When we stand face to face with temptation, we can always respond with scripture. The Bible is not just a book. It is a double-edged sword. A weapon used to help us in this spiritual fight to do God's will. You know, if a wild animal is coming at you to eat you and you're holding a gun, what good does that gun do if you don't know how to pull the trigger?
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary for us to take time to learn how to use God's word, to study it, spend time in it, become acquainted with it. So you know how to handle it when it comes time to speak God's word, when it comes time to use it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." God's word is the only weapon that you can ever use to stop Satan in his tracks.
Yeah.
That's why every day we need to be those who work towards being acquainted with the word. We need to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We all have to fight battles every day with temptation. But there is help in the Lord if you accept it. And those of us who begin to think that, oh, well, I don't really have to face that much temptation, then maybe your issue is that of pride.
Amen.
We all have problems, situations. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So let us be those who prepare ourselves for what we're going to face. Doesn't make a difference how young you are or how old you are. Doesn't make a difference where you come from. Realize and understand that we are fighting a battle that is for our souls. And Satan doesn't sleep. He doesn't give up. So we need to be ever more vigilant and doing what we can to to make sure that we are ready for this battle. This morning, I'm sure God has been with you in dealing with some of the things that you've had to face. Those of us who are children of God realize and understand that God is with us, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But when we are reminded of God's promises, and reminded of His Word, then we'll be able to stand strong against everything Satan throws our way.
Amen.
Let us be those who continue to fight the good fight of faith, keep God's Word ever on our hearts, and we will be those who are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This morning, regardless of what's going on in your life, no matter what temptations you may be facing, make sure that you put those problems and situations in God's hands. Realize that you're not alone, that you can have the strength necessary to overcome anything. Whatever your needs are this morning, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.
I am resolved, no!